Hello and welcome to the business podcast at Imperial College Business School. I am your host, Amin Siala, and today is a very special episode. This week marks Women at Imperial Week. And Women at Imperial is an annual celebration that takes place around International Women's Day, which is the 8th of March, to celebrate female staff and students at Imperial, past and present, and to raise awareness of the schemes that the college runs to support women. A fantastic week. And we are right at the start of it, Monday, 5th of March. With me today are three excellent guests. In front of me is Savi Ahmadi, a current global online MBA student. She has an engineering background and has been working in financial services since 2013. Currently a manager at Capital One. She's led the launch of online banking platforms for credit card customers of three major North American retailers and is currently managing a team of 14 associates across Toronto and Montreal. Savi is a passionate advocate of talent development and coaching, especially for women. Currently, she's working on launching a mentorship program for first-generation women in Toronto, which I'll be asking you about. And she is one of Imperial's Forte Foundation Fellows. And in front of me also is Linda Liu, currently studying MSc in International Health Management. She is currently the president of Imperial College Women in Business Society, and she holds a BSc in Pharmacology from McGill University, and she'll be joining the consultancy firm Oliver Wyman from September this year. And last but not least, to my left is Natasha Lakhani, a current full-time MBA student with 7 years of international experience working for energy major Shell in a variety of finance and treasury roles and has a bachelor's degree from the London School of Economics. Natasha was Shell's youngest ever leader in Asia Pacific, where she led a team of 22 whilst she was only age 24 and has subsequently been on a number of leadership committees for the group. She is the MBA president of the Imperial College Energy Careers Club, and she is a member of the National Academy of Gifted and Talented Youth and is a Forte Foundation Fellow and a scholarship recipient. So to all my dear guests, Natasha, Linda and Savi, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having
us. Thank you.
So we've got the repeat of the Forte Foundation from both Savi and Natasha. Why don't you tell us about that? What is the Forte Foundation?
Yeah, I can start. So Forte Foundation is actually the reason I'm here. Forte is a nonprofit organization that their role is to support women that would like to go into business school and pursue careers in business. So I attended a Forte event, and through there, I came across Imperial. I started talking to the recruitment team at Imperial, and I fell in love with the school and the curriculum and said, this is the school that I'm going to pursue my MBA. So, yeah, and they have amazing events throughout the year. There are different webinars and conferences, and Imperial has been also very involved with them.
Okay, great. And that's how you first came across Forte?
Yeah, well, I came across Forte through another organization in Toronto. And when I went to their event, they had basically a school fair of different schools across the world.
Right.
And Imperial was there. And I didn't at that point have too much information about Imperial MBA.
Yep.
I obviously knew the Imperial brand. And when I started talking to the recruitment team, I said, oh, this is it. This is the school I want to do my MBA.
That's great. How about you, Natasha? When was your first exposure to this to the foundation?
Do you know what? Mine was actually the other way around. So I knew that I wanted to come to Imperial to do my MBA. If I'm completely honest, I probably hadn't heard too much about the Forte Foundation. Hmm. But it was actually through, you know, doing the research on Imperial's website and saying, okay, there's this opportunity that if I want to go into future or further education, I could apply for a scholarship and a fellowship. And so actually that was the way I got into it and looked into it. And Savi's perfectly right in that it's this fantastic organization that's set up predominantly with the aim to just get more women into further education and specifically MBA programs as well. And so shaping the next generation of female leaders from a public side, but also from a private side as well, sponsoring itself with other organizations.
Wow. Linda, so you are the president of the Women in Business Society or club at the business school. What activities are you currently doing?
So for Women in Business, it's actually a a club under the union. It's for both college as well as business school students.
Oh, okay.
And so a lot of the activities, especially during the fall semester where really recruitment is taking place, we do a lot of networking, because sometimes I see that, mm-hmm. especially at the early stages of someone's career for women, they are very hard to get out of their shells. Mm. So I want to organize a lot of these networking events so that women are in a safe environment. They can actually talk about themselves, especially when they don't have a lot of experience under their pocket. And so during the fall semesters, this is majorly what we do, networking with different companies, different industry leaders. And currently we're switching gears into educational, because right now we find that a lot of our women peer, they're preparing to get into industries or preparing to move further in their education. So a lot of the times we're doing business negotiation, as well as we just had an afternoon tea doing speed friending, which is really mastering networking skills, as well as really just making people feel comfortable with other people that they're not familiar with. So this is Women in Business in a nutshell. We really want to encourage female students at Imperial to speak up and network.
Yeah, and you see that this obviously the opportunity that you create for them, which for them to be able to network and get the negotiation skills, they can then take that with them in their future careers.
For sure. And then not just to their future careers, but also I do find that a lot of the company leaders, when they come, they really start seeing that, okay, these women, they do have potential. It's just during the interview stages, it might just be different gender differences that they might not speak as confidently, but they're nevertheless very qualified. I've been reading articles saying that for some of the jobs, women apply because they're 100% sure that they qualify, but men sometimes they don't. So during these events, it works both ways for both the sponsors, both the companies, as well as the students.
Okay, Savi, you are a proclaimed advocate for talent development and coaching, especially for women. If I was to ask you, what is the main lesson you think is the most important one for women in the professional world, what would you say it is?
God, so many lessons. It's hard for me to pick one.
Right.
I would say the number one lesson that I learned is don't get discouraged, especially as you receive feedback.
Okay.
What I learned throughout my career is that women, we receive a different type of feedback compared to men. And I'm not saying that this is always the case, but I've seen it happen numerous times throughout my career and my education.
Can you give us an example for that?
Of course. So I was once received a feedback that someone told me, Sarvi, you're very result-focused and you're very confident. And your confidence can be intimidating to other folks in the team.
Mm.
And I remember I received that feedback, and it took me weeks to be able to really digest it, because I was not always a confident person. I moved to Canada when I was 18. I still have accent when I speak English. And I remember I moved by myself, and I had to find network. I had to find new friends, learn how to live in this new country. And I wasn't a confident person. It took me years to become confident. And now I came across someone that telling me that now you're too confident.
Mm.
And what I learned from that is I can feedback at the end of the day, I should look at it as a gift. People are giving me feedback based on their perception, and they all want to help me. I think it's better to look at it in a positive way. And I can receive all these different kind of feedback from different people, but ultimately I'm the person that decides what should I do with that feedback. Every feedback that women receive, I don't think they should necessarily feel that they should implement it. I think you should get the feedback and kind of compare that against your values and what is important to you. Because for me, ultimately, I want to stay true to who I am. And when I received that feedback, I said, I want to be confident, so I don't want to change that. But how about this person that got intimidated and I'm more senior than this person? I can be a coach to that person and try to understand, where did that feedback come? Why is it that this person get intimidated, and how can I coach and help that person? So I would say receive the feedback, but always be confident and pick and choose which ones you want to change about yourself.
Natasha, what are your thoughts on the feedback situation?
Do you know what? I completely agree with you. I mean, I think one of the things which always makes me laugh about these situations is, what is too confident? right? I mean, I have to question, would a man ever get that sort of feedback? You are too confident. I mean, what is that, right? And this goes back to such an interesting sort of dilemma that so many of us must face, which is that there is a different yardstick that women are being measured to, that men are being measured to, and there are stereotypes which women are feeling as if we have to adhere to. So it's such an interesting one, because my first observation is, this is part of the problem. Women can't win, you know. We're damned if we are too quiet and we're too sensitive and we display sort of these feminine qualities. And then we're confident and we're taking control. And again, we get that sort of feedback. So this is one of the things which on a daily basis, I'm sure, you know, we're all nodding our heads, we all face. And really needs to be changed, to be honest.
On this point, I mean, it's not that statistically proven that ambitious women are just less liked, and we're judged by both men and women.
Yeah, it's a really interesting study. They say that if you have a successful man, he's liked by both men and women. His peer group actually like him more. If you take a successful woman, well, you might think, okay, well, maybe I can understand that men maybe don't like her so much and women would still be supportive. But actually, it's the opposite. When you have a successful woman who is maybe ambitious, who is demonstrating some of these you know, traits that Savi's mentioning, they're less liked. And I think this is a really big and fundamental problem, because as a woman, why am I then incentivized to display these positive behaviors? I'm penalized.
Savi, what do you think? Do you think a woman in the professional world today should aim for the middle ground?
I tried all different kind of ways. I tried to be the nice one in the room to the point that I was too nice. I tried to be very serious. I would still go back to do whatever you feel that is right for you. Whatever is your values. I think there are so many books and different talks on how you should be as a woman at workplace, how you should be as a mom, how you should be as a partner. Ultimately, each of us, we have sets of values. And I think we should be authentic. Mm-hmm. So in some cases, maybe that middle ground is right. In some cases, they're not. So I recently became a people manager, and I have an amazing team. But same as any other people manager, you have to have tough conversation. Yeah. And I realized that sometimes as a woman, there is expectation of me to have that conversation in a different way compared to my male peers. Mm-hmm. And I started watching all of these TED Talks and reading all these books and articles. And then I said, you know what? I'm going to do whatever I feel that is right, because it will come across as authentic, and right. That's how people can relate to it. So I don't think really we can say all women should pick that middle ground and it works. Do whatever you feel is right.
So there is no one-size-fits-all solution to this problem.
I don't think so.
Yeah. What are your thoughts,
and,
Linda?
Building on both of the speakers right now, I do find that we're discussing on how women should behave, but really the central question is that how should we behave so that people don't identify you as women or men? It's right now, this is the central case, that there is a gender bias, or there is some, we're almost being positively negative because we're women in a way. So what I think right now is that just as Sarve said, that it's not acting a way to forecast that you're a successful female within the business world, but it's really acting you so that you are successful in the business world. And I think right now sitting here, we're moving toward this world where we're not just women in the business world. We're just people, normal people within the business world, and you're not identified because you're women.
Yeah. Natasha, why don't you tell us about the Heidi Howard study? Of 2003.
Yes. Well remembered. The Heidi Howard study...
I don't have notes in front of me at all.
No, not at all. Yeah, casual. The Heidi Howard study is actually one which builds on some of the stuff that we're talking about here. So what they did was, you had some professors from the University of Columbia and also from New York, and they presented a business case. They put forward actually two sets of CVs. To a group of people. Now, the first one was Howard's CV.
Male.
Okay. Absolutely. And they asked the people, okay, what are your perceptions of this gentleman, Howard? And the positive feedback was fantastic. You know, this is someone that I'd love to work for. Howard seems ambitious. Howard seems very competent. They put exactly that same CV in front of those people again as Heidi, a female this time. And actually the feedback that came back, and I quote parts from the study, was that this isn't someone that I would want to work with, nor someone that I would want to hire. So they still saw Heidi just as competent, but actually when it came to the likability factor and wanting to work with that person, you know, she did not stack up the same as Howard. And this really, you know, comes to the point that society as a whole discriminates or has different expectations of women's behavior than it does to men.
And why do you think we have these perceptions? I mean, where is the root of all this?
Oh, if I knew the answer of that, right? I think it comes from everywhere.
Right.
It is literally inbuilt in us from the day we are born of how we should be treated and how we should act. So much of it's also culture driven as well. So many expectations which are put onto women stem from when they're, you know, young girls through to even in their private lives as girlfriends and wives and mothers. One place where I think it really stems from and where I think we could do a lot more is schooling. You know, Linda makes a really great point. She said, you know, we should just be ourselves, right? We should just be who we are. But actually at school, girls as well are based, their judgment is based so much on popularity, on looks, on their sporting abilities. So few of the time, I know it sounds cheesy, do we really give credit to the nerdy girls that are academic, who are getting their head down, who are good girls, who are ambitious, who want to, you know, look at different careers.
I mean, social media also doesn't help, right?
Right.
If you look at anything on social media, on TV, they're not about this woman being smart and ambitious. It's around, is she fit? What brand of clothing is she wearing?
Right.
So from the very young age, girls and boys, like they watch TV, they go to social media, and that's the message that they get. And they just grow up with that.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Well, with that in mind, there are obviously countries that are doing much better in this than others, naturally. I mean, I know that Scandinavia is quite ahead just in terms of the equality aspect. I don't know if anyone's ever been there, but do you have any suspicions as to why they managed to successfully kind of level the playing ground? Savi?
So my cousin, actually, she's been living in Norway for over 30 years. And so she raised her kids there. And I think part of it is, as Natasha was saying, it's around schooling and the way that they raise their children. I think kids at a young age, they should see their role models, how parents, they interact with each other, how they divide up responsibilities. So I know my cousin, I think her kids were very young, and she got into a program at school that she wanted to pursue, and she had to go to a different city. And it could have been two scenarios. Either her husband says, well, I can't, we both have full-time jobs, at this point you just can't do this, just forget it. Or the husband could have been, hey, I'm supportive. And they chose the latter. And I think probably the kids growing up in that household, they saw that, okay, my dad is supportive of my mom going to a different city, studying, coming back, have to like work on like some schoolwork. So I think it's really like schooling and how at home, like kids being raised, probably when they have those role models and they see how the parents interact, they probably learn from it. That's just my assumption.
How realistic do you think that is in a lot of the Asian cultures though? Right.
Which Asian? The East Asian or South Asian? I think there is quite a disparity there. I've actually, on that point, I've got some statistics on that. So the global women's representation in boardrooms is highest in Europe, 18%. Then in the US, it's 16.9%. Then in Africa, it's 14.4%. But on the Asian Pacific, it's only 9.8%. So it's almost 10. So there is that kind of dip. Mm-hmm. But on this point, your experience is in Asia Pacific. Is that right? And also you're from the oil and gas industry, which is typically quite male heavy. How have you managed to navigate that?
You know what? It's hard. I mean, I've been lucky in all honesty. Really, really, really have. Feel really fortunate for those experiences. But one of the things that was so key was to have, it's the buzzword, it's to have a mentor. It's to have a champion who, you know, sees something in you, who potentially says, you know, this person's worth giving a go on, and champions you for that opportunity. And, you know, I was very lucky that my champion was a female. You know, many of the time, because there are more senior men, you need maybe your champion to be a man to identify you as someone with potential. But yes, indeed, my mentor saw something in me. She said, this is someone that we want to keep in the company. Let's start giving her the opportunities and let's see how she goes. And let's give it to her in a way that we're there to support her if she falls. But at the same time, let's push her. Let's see what she can do. And I don't think that would be possible unless you work for companies that saw the benefit of mentorship and also really value diversity. That's key.
Okay. You know? What kind of diversity? Gender diversity, race?
Diversity in every form. Mm. I mean, I think we go on a lot about females versus men, but there's so much about ethnicity as well. I mean, there's a shocking statistic that says, actually, if you're an ethnic minority woman, you know, your chances are even smaller, right, of being successful and having those boardroom positions. I mean, diversity even goes to things like height. There's studies that show that women who are shorter than men have less executive presence, and that impacts the way people see them and how impactful they are, right? Mm-hmm. Diversity can be anything. One thing that I'm really passionate about is introversion. I feel that people who are introverted are not taken as seriously in the workplace. Mm. Their opinions aren't heard. I mean, these are people that are smart, right? Yep. They've got a voice. We need to hear it. So I think it can be anything and everything from ways of thinking.
Savi, have you got any direct experiences with mentorship?
Yeah, that's a topic that I'm very passionate about. So I think one of the biggest challenges that women face, and I know I went through this early on in my career, is lack of mentors, female mentors. You talked about, Natasha, about oil and gas and how you had a female mentor, and that's amazing.
Yeah.
And probably it was so hard to find. I was, my background is in civil engineering, and I worked in that industry not that long, maybe 3 years, but I could not find even one female mentor. I could not see a woman sitting at those leadership positions that I wanted to. And imagine how that feels, that you're starting in a company ambitious as a junior engineer, and you're trying to find someone that you can relate to and say, this is who I want to be, this is who I aspire to be. And in fact, one of the reasons, I mean, there are multiple reasons that I switched to financial services, but one of them was, I can't see anyone in engineering at the companies that I were at the time that I can see myself one day wanting to be that. Mm. I couldn't see that many women. And when I joined Capital One, I remember, I think it was after 6 months of being there, one of our VPs from US came to our Canada business. And I remember the first meeting that we had after a 30-minute conversation, it was all hands. She was talking about the objectives of the year. I went to her and I said, today, finally, I can see myself. I can see myself that you are the person that I aspire to be one day in this company. Mm-hmm. And that was one of the main reasons for me that I said, this is the company that I want to stay. This is the company I want to invest my time and hopefully be able to coach other women. So I think mentorship and sponsorship, they're both really, really important topics and can have huge impact on anyone's career, men and women, but especially for women because the numbers are so low in boardrooms of the women that we can see.
Right.
So I've been blessed at Capital One with amazing mentors. One thing I learned is it's good to have mentors, but you also want to have sponsors.
Yeah.
And probably sponsors, you have less control over that. Sponsors...
What's the difference? Can you explain to the listeners?
Yeah, and probably you ladies can add more to that. Mentor is someone that you actually approach them and you say, I want you to be my mentor. I want you to coach me.
Okay.
versus a sponsor. I know in our company, I have a couple of sponsors. I never went to them and said, I want you to be my sponsors. They were in projects with me. They saw my performance. They know me. And I know behind closed doors, they are the ones that are rooting for me. They're also the ones that come to me if there is a feedback that needs to be given to me and say, hey, the way that you came across in that meeting wasn't right. This is the perception. This is what you need to do.
Yeah, that's very interesting. When you were talking there earlier, I thought of the keyword role model. That really is what you're in search of. Yeah. That's what you want. As you said, when the numbers are low, you want to look, even if it was one individual person who you can relate to, as long as that role model exists, you can think, I could be her one day. Mm-hmm. And this isn't just exclusive to women, really.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is generally across the board.
Yeah.
And a lot of successful people I've met and a lot of successful people I know or read about, they always mention role models that have inspired them from the days of childhood.
Exactly.
So would you say then that a good quality piece of advice for those listening is find a role model?
Exactly.
And I'm guessing the closer the role model is to you, the better, because it feels slightly achievable. If someone's from the same background, whatever that may be, whether it's from the same country or whether they studied the same course or whether they went to the same institution, as long as an element of you know, something that's related. What are your thoughts, Linda?
So my thoughts is that mentorship is definitely, like Sarva said, it's extremely important. And a lot of the times, building on what you've been talking about, is that if you see someone that's somewhat similar to you in any way, you think that it's actually achievable. And a lot of times, it's really just mentally approving what you're doing. So a lot of the times, right now, I said that, okay, if someone that's similar like me could be the president, or if someone similar like me could work in an industry that I've never worked before, then why can't I? I think this is really encouraging. And a lot of the times when we're really on social media, we see social media amplifying that women are supposed to be pretty. But when I think right now, what social media, especially for Imperial, what we can do is amplify that these professors, these female professors, these female entrepreneurs from Imperial, they did it. So can you. It's not just women should be pretty, but it's women that they're similar to you. So if they can do it, so can you.
Absolutely. And I mean, on a bright side, this is actually a good time for women. Historically speaking, women are at leadership positions. We are seeing more and more women entrepreneurs.
And can I say president of Imperial is a woman?
Right.
Wonderful woman.
Exactly.
There we go. That's another
that's
example.
I think one thing, like, and I know when I learned that, and I was fortunate that I met her at an event in Toronto, I was like, wow, one more reason I like this school so much. I mean, to have the president of school like Imperial to be a woman, a female engineer, actually. I think her background, if I'm not mistaken, is in chemical engineering.
Right.
It's just so powerful. And for me as a woman, like being part of this community, it just felt so much better. I'm like, okay, I know now I can totally understand where the school is coming from, all of the initiatives that are targeted for women, because as top of the house, there is that level of support for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I actually disagree with you, though. I mean, that it's...
With regards to...
Well, that it's a great time to be a woman.
Okay.
And I mean, yeah, I mean, I think this is one of the misconceptions that things are progressing in the right direction. And yes, they are. But let's think about it. I mean, back in 1970... If you took an American woman, she was earning 59 cents for every man's $1.
Mm.
40 years later, in 2010, we're earning 77 cents to a man's $1. I mean, you've got 40 years and we've made the progress of 18 cents, which is a very famous quote that you know, other people talk about. So I've stolen that one from a book. But it's not enough, right? There's so much that we read again around gender parity and the fact that we're over 200 years away from it. There was a gender pay report that was published earlier this year that said we're 217 years away from it.
Wow.
There's higher expectations on women. We've got to be this person at home, this person at, you know, work.
Mm-hmm.
It's a tough time to be a woman. It's hard to juggle all these hats. And the progress hasn't been good enough.
Right.
And building on Natasha's point regarding it's the time or not the time to be women, right now, I think, especially right now, more opportunities are open for women. We're expected to be a good wife, a good mother, as well as a good manager or a good director. So right now, we're juggling, like you said, between a lot of hats. And it's and I find that this is almost unfair in the same way as it is fair. So let's see if this is the time for women.
Okay, so on the point of 200 years, and unfortunately, it does sound like a believable number. What can we do to make that 200 years, possibly 100 years, 50 years? Because I don't know about you, but I don't think I'm going to be around that long.
So I think this exactly what we are doing right now, like having conversations. It's a simple step, but it's really important. It's key in making a difference and raising awareness. And I think to have constructive conversation that leads to a change, it requires having people like Amin sitting at the table, having men sitting at the table and having these conversations. Few weeks ago, I was on a business trip, and it was a group of us colleagues sitting, and one of the male colleagues of mine started having this conversation about feminism and some of the unconscious biases, and we chatted for over an hour, and it was such an amazing conversation. And the day after, he came to me and said, "That was a wonderful conversation. I really enjoyed it. Let's make sure we have this conversation more often." Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't have had that conversation if it was just all women sitting. Mm. We all had the same perspective. We would have all raised the same issues. So I think it's so important to raise awareness, because a lot of the issues we are facing, they're unconscious biases. I don't think everyone intentionally, they are doing the things that they're doing that makes us feel this way. They're all unconscious. Let's talk about them. Let's have men at the table, and let's have a two-way dialogue conversation.
So you're saying then that these forums that discuss women shouldn't just consist of women. There should be men in there as well.
Majority. I actually, a couple of years ago, we started an event at Capital One, a women leadership seminar. And one of the things that we said is that this event is going to be open to everyone. And we are actually going to make it almost mandatory for all of the senior male in the company to attend. We were lucky that we have the president of the company, who is a man, to sponsor the event, attend it, and kick off all of the events. We're actually doing something similar at Imperial tomorrow. So to celebrate International Women's Day, Business School, we have an event tomorrow. And the event is open to everyone. We are celebrating successful women in leadership positions. But Director of Executive and Global MBA, Paolo, he's going to sponsor the event. He's going to kick off the event. And at our panel, we're going to have one of my male classmates sitting. And I think it's just the shift to how traditionally we've been doing these women's events, that it was all women sitting and we were raising issues and we were trying to problem solve amongst ourselves. Now we are saying, no, actually, we want to have this conversation with men also at the table.
Yeah. What are your thoughts, Natasha?
Yeah, we did something similar at Shell, actually, a couple of years ago. So we used to have a women's network at Shell. And we decided to rebrand that to be a balanced network. So there's no longer a women's network. It's called Balance. And the whole idea there is that it should be balanced. There should be 50% of the people in the group to be men and 50% women. And when we rebranded it and relaunched the network, we actually asked every single female member to bring along a male colleague to the launch. And, you know, this is exactly what Savi's saying. There's no point if it's just women having this discussion. We know the issues. We live them every day. What we actually need is we need to bring men at the table.
Yep.
We need men to be aware of the situation. And also we need to help them, because I think a lot of the time guys don't realize what they're doing. And it's a little bit easy for them right now to avoid this conversation if they want to. So, I mean, I think you're seeing some of the other multinationals do the same thing. Perhaps it's something even at Imperial we should think about, right? I mean, how do we get more men in to these networks?
Yeah, on this point, I've had a conversation with you all before, obviously, the podcast, and Natasha specifically. You've got something to say about the insecurities that I guess we carry in our mind, and obviously specifically for women.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of the time, you know, women are made to feel as if we have to be more manly, right? We feel that we need to be more ambitious, we need to be strong, we need to be confident, although in Savi's case, of course, then she gets penalized for it. But the fundamental thing, and I think you've got three women here, let's use this opportunity to relate to our listeners, is that it's okay to be you. And it's okay to have insecurities. I mean, the number of days where I feel incompetent when I'm at my desk is is unreasonable. It's crazy. But we do it to ourselves as women. Sometimes we're our worst critiques. We're really harsh on ourselves, but it's okay to have that. I mean, I felt very insecure when I took on my first leadership position. I felt like I was not credible. I almost worked myself up into actually quitting before I took that role because I thought, I'm going to go in, they're going to realize I don't know what the hell I'm talking about, and it's going to all end really badly. Maybe I should just walk away, or else my reputation is still good. And I walked into that role, and my predecessor was a man, and I remember having the handover. And I remember thinking, this guy, really? I mean, seriously, I can do this. But it's incredible how I let my insecurities for a period of time really cloud my judgment that I was ready for that next leap and that next promotion.
Yeah, I guess this goes back to historically, I guess, when we were growing up, the subconscious, maybe lessons that we'd have soaked up as kids. And, you know, I've got a 12-year-old sister, and one of the things I tell her, I say, look, you know, don't ever feel like, oh, I'm a girl, I can't do this. No, that's an illusion. You know, it's very easy to buy that argument and think that's the case. But that is an illusory wall in our minds that doesn't really exist. And I think once you become aware of that, that's the way you can fight it.
Yes.
Linda.
And I wanted to build on the education part. I think education, there was a study, so two women from the street, when they came in and then they saw a baby, the baby's sex was undisclosed. And if the baby was dressed in a little pink dress, then usually the women from the street would give them Barbies, dolls. But if that same baby was dressed in a boy's blue or trousers, then the random lady from the street would give them jug puzzles, and other traditionally boy toys. Mm-hmm. So I think a lot of education and the unconscious bias, it starts at a very, very early age. And this is extremely important because a lot of times women are the people that really think, okay, this is my barrier. I can't do math. This is my barrier because I'm a woman. I can't progress maybe later on into a male-dominated industry. And sometimes it's because of the insecurity that Natasha was talking about and because of the unconscious bias that Sarvi was talking about that really gave us a barrier. I mean, we are, as human, it's really a human rights thing. It's not a woman should have a gender equality. It's really just a human rights thing that if we can make it happen, if we think that we're as good as our male counterparts, I think, like what you're talking about, I mean, the 200 years until the gender gap pay, it's going to be vanishing much faster.
Hope. Okay, on this point, then, I'm going to ask you, all three of you, briefly, to give me what would be your one piece of advice for a young lady embarking on either, you know, the working world. She's just about to enter the working world, and she wants to succeed. She's passionate. She's ambitious. What would you tell her, Sarvi?
I would tell her, first of all, to network. Build a really strong network around yourselves because you never know when it's going to come handy. And I think, especially, I know from the culture that I came from initially, I didn't really know much about networking. To me, I should have just waited for jobs to come to me. I wouldn't have just go and network. So that was something that from the North American culture I had to learn. So I would tell women, go network, build a really strong network around yourself, men and women. Second thing, find mentors or role models, as we're talking about. I think it's just, for me in my career, that day that I met that VP, who is right now, I'm still part of her team, and she's my mentor. I think it was such a important milestone in my career. That was the day that I just started looking at my career at Capital One very differently. So I would say network and make sure that you have good role models and mentors around yourself. And the third thing, make sure that you just don't have all female mentors, have men and women. I have some of the mentors that I have, and I don't think you should have just one mentor, by the way. I think there are multiple people, and you go to each one of them for different expertise that they bring and the perspective.
Right.
I have some male mentors that I get such create perspective from them. And they teach me about how to look at a problem in a different way that I probably wouldn't have had that if I would just have female mentors.
Interesting. Natasha?
Yeah, I would build on what Savi said, actually. I, for one, find networking excruciating. I can't say I'm good at it. I hate it. I absolutely loathe the idea of going up and asking someone, can you be my mentor? I mean, just thinking about it, I'm just cringing. But my advice would be, and I wish I knew this earlier, is just do it. I mean, what is the worst that's going to happen? You know, I mean, they're not going to reply to your LinkedIn post. Great, whatever. I mean, you're never going to meet that person again,
right?
You're going to get knocked back. First 50 people, let's say you're just a nervous wreck that you speak to, the 51st person you'll be half decent with. I mean, this is really a long haul game. And I, for one, spent too much time, and I probably still do, cringing at the thought of rejection, cringing at the thought of, oh, but, you know, if I go and I ask this question, I'm going to look so stupid. Or, but why would I ask that? Or why it's going to look
fear
like one
failure.
Favor? Yeah. And men don't think the same way, right? I mean, men just go and get on with it. So what I would really say is, you know, I'm someone who finds it very uncomfortable, but I force myself. And it's okay. Fake it till you make it. And fake it. Do what you got to do to network. I think the second thing I would also say is be yourself. You know, don't try to be liked. Don't try to fit into a mold that you think your organization wants you to be or what you think people will like. You have to stay true to yourself. You're going to be the best and most productive and most efficient version of yourself if you do that.
Possibly also happier.
Yeah.
Would you agree? You know, if you're more comfortable yourself.
Totally.
You don't have to put this new persona every morning or every
time. It's hard work to try to be someone else.
Yeah.
And it probably takes a lot of cognitive load from your head anyway, that, you know, to put this new persona. What's your piece of advice, Linda?
And I totally agree with both Sarvi and Natasha regarding network, mentorship, and speaking up. So just giving a little example for myself, when I was interning in a pharmaceutical company, my manager told me that, you know what, Linda, you're doing extremely great on the projects or on the work that I've given you, but really speak up. What do you want to do? And that's, I think, that's really important. I'm entering the industry for the first time myself as a full-time worker, and these advice from Natasha and from Sarvi are extremely, extremely important to me, I think. And one last thing that I want to build up is that I think we should play on that we are female as well, because as female, we're very sensitive to the emotions on the table. And sometimes, especially within the business industry, you are successful on a business case because you see, you hear, you understand what's not spoken by the client. And that is extremely important because we're female, and it's nothing to be ashamed of. We are we are very emotionally intelligent, average wise compared to men. Yes, and so I personally find that yes, we are going to be networking, we're going to be finding our mentorship, and we're going to come out of our shell. But then again, always remember that you are compatible. You're just extremely, extremely powerful as women ourselves.
Natasha, you've got thoughts regarding women needing to support other women.
Yeah.
Can you tell us more about that?
Absolutely. Before I do that, I just want to build on Linda's point there. I think if I'm listening to this right now, I would be inclined to think we hear about mentorship so much, but if it was that easy, then, you know, I would be doing it, but it's not. And I just want to give maybe a couple of tips because it's so important that, you know, we've got people at the right time of their career that can really make a difference. The first thing I would say with, you know, going out and finding a mentor, I'm not very good at this. I could be better, but take that risk. It really is. It's what I said before. Just do it. Second is there's so many people that say reciprocity is the key here. So, you know, if you do something for that individual first, it builds that relationship that actually I want to help this person back. And that's something which I deploy. You know, I'm the sort of person, I don't feel it's authentic for me to ask favors without me having done something. That's okay. My style. So I'll help that person. And then I feel that I can ask for something in return. That might work for other people. But it really just go down to take that risk.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, if I have a few seconds as well on what you were talking about, I think one thing as well that I would love to see more of, and I'm very fortunate that at Shell as well, we have this culture, is women supporting women. You know, the ideal world would be that women are championing women, but we don't live in that world sometimes. Mm-hmm. I think sometimes the previous generation have seen so much hardship, they've gone through so much, that there's sometimes those women that can be a bit resentful.
What is the difference, sorry, between women championing women and then women just supporting women?
So I think support is a lot more reactive, right? I mean, okay. I'll support you, you come to me and I'll give you a pat on the back and I'll help you where I can. I think where championing is slightly different is to say, I've been through that. I don't want you to go through that. And I want to, you know, create a pavement for you because I see something in you that you don't have to go through the same that I went through. And that takes generosity. And I want to see more of that from women as well. This isn't a competition. You know, we're not competing against each other. We're not at that point. When it's 50-50, yeah, maybe. But right now, we need to help each other to get up organizations and to feel happy at work.
Yeah. Savi, about women supporting women?
Yeah, I definitely agree with you. For me, I've seen scenarios that maybe I wasn't as supportive as I should have been. Probably I'm guilty of it. I don't know it, but probably it happened, or vice versa. But lately I actually seen a lot of success in this area. Like I've received a lot of support from the women around me. Right now I'm doing a global online MBA. So my entire program, 90% of it is online.
Wow.
And the support that I'm receiving from all of the women, from everyone in my cohort, but especially the women, has been amazing. We are across, I think, 29 different countries. Everything is online. And I've been so, so lucky with everyone in my class and the women and how supportive they've been. And one thing I'm trying to do as a new people manager right now, I have a team of 14 and majority are women, is trying to really, you know how they say, be the change you want to see? Like, I try to be that person. I say, well, these are some of the challenges that I had. These are the supports that maybe in the past when I was younger, I didn't receive from other women. Now that I have this opportunity within my team, let's make sure that I show that behavior that I wanted to see. Make sure that I'm that role model, hopefully.
Yeah.
Make sure that I support them and elevate them.
Yeah.
And I think that's what we need to do more of as women. Whatever happened in past, great. We have lessons learned. Let's move forward. I mean, that's in general my attitude with everything. I just want to move forward. And I think we have years of history and all of these lessons. Now that there is attention toward the issues and challenges that we face, let's just move forward. From today onward, let's us, like three of us sitting here, be the ones supporting each other. We're in unique positions that we are all going, like in leadership positions, support the teams that we have, and then raise awareness. One other thing that I want to add is, I think it's very important for us also as women, especially as we are progressing in leadership positions, to call out the behaviors that we see that are not correct. So if we're sitting in a meeting room and we're seeing that a junior female engineer is sitting at the corner and is not speaking up, let us be, we were all at some point in that person's shoe. Let us be the person saying that, what are you thinking? Or maybe we should just like pull her manager and say, by the way, this is her style. Maybe you can probe her more and ask her questions or encourage her more. My whole thing is let's move forward. Let us be that change that we wanted. And I'm sure we can get to a better spot.
What are your thoughts, Linda?
So for me, especially in Women in Business Society, we are a team of 12. And sometimes that I think is that I don't believe in hierarchy, although there are different roles for different positions. But as a whole, I think empowering is so much more powerful than simply leading or just commanding, because sometimes 1 + 1 is way larger than 3 or even way larger than 100, because ideas clash. And when people really take control of their role or take control of their position, they really contribute. And when you actually see ownership, you find that it's extremely, extremely powerful. And to my society right now, I'm trying to make everyone a leader in an event, a leader in an initiative, because I feel that in women right now, we're supporting each other. You're not going to be listening to what I'm talking about, but you're going to be expressing this idea so that as a woman in business society as a whole, we can move forward. And I think that this year we're doing quite well because a lot of the ideas, a lot of the events actually come from our event managers, coming from our head of mentorship, coming from our marketing department. So, and I'm actually very proud of that.
That's great, and you should be proud of that. On this point of supporting women, I feel like, so essentially, it could be that women can proactively support other women by, as you said, calling out the junior female engineer you mentioned. But on the flip side, it can be women pursuing advice from other women as well. And that, to be honest, it's the same challenge, even for men and women. It doesn't matter, right? If there are people out there that you are inspired by, and I'm asking you if you agree here, if there's people out there that match how you see yourself or how you want to be, then people should feel comfortable of approaching them. Just get in touch. Say, hey, you are an inspiration to me. Can you please help me? I want to be like you. What can I do? It's such a simple thing, but people should not be. People really want to give advice. That's something I've personally learned. Again, this isn't related to just jobs or business or work. It just, people will be happy to give you advice, and it can be the biggest shot. I mean, as somebody's probably listening now, I actually saw him on a TV interview 2 weeks ago, true story, he shall remain nameless, and I added him on LinkedIn, responded to me in 3 minutes, and met him for a coffee the week after. Just like that. It's really easy, but you need to take the step to try to get advice from your, I guess, role models. And Sasha?
Yeah, I just don't think it's as easy as that. Because, you know, we're discounting a huge number of people who would feel very uncomfortable doing that.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, you have to be a certain personality to do that. What about people who feel less confident? It's really, really hard. You know what, on paper it is so easy, and you say it, and I'm like, right, let's go off and do it, right? Yeah. But we have to realize that there is a mass population of men and women there that need to find ways to make it work for them. So it might be, for example, what I said before about finding styles that make you feel authentic and credible in reaching out to people. But, you know, you're so correct that people want to give advice. It goes back to what we said before. What's the worst that could happen? Just do it. If you're listening to this right now, I know it's Women's Day, but it's a day, take it as a day to do that one thing that you've been putting off. Contact that one person that you've been wanting to do and you just haven't. I think that would be fantastic for us to achieve.
Well, we're running out of time. Natasha, Linda and Savi, it's been great, but I will give you all one last opportunity to just give in your final statement, if you like, or advice. In less than 30 seconds, I'll start with you, Linda.
So my final advice is that really just take the courage and break out of your shell. Contact the people that you are you think as a role model is, and really be courageous.
Courageous. Mm-hmm. Savi.
I just wrote on my notes, go after what you want. Yeah. I mean, I moved to Canada when I was 18, and I had an idea of the type of career I want to have, the type of the life I want to have, the people that I want to have in my network. And like today, I'm sitting here, I'm a student of one of the best universities in the world, sitting with all of you amazing people, and I'm like, I did it. This is exactly how I envisioned it. And it's not because I was very special. My advice to everyone, men or women, is just go after what you want and surround yourself with a great network of positive people, people that want to help you, and just learn from them, absorb everything, and you can do it. I truly believe that if you really want something, you're passionate about it, you can do it. I think in case of women, a lot of time, as we talked about it today, is lack of confidence sometimes, insecurities, all of these unconscious biases that exist, but know that a lot, like all women, we all go through it. And each of us find ways to pass through it. And I think at this time especially, we have support of hopefully other women around us. But also I think there are more men now aware of some of these biases and the things that are happening. And they're willing to support us. So just raise your hand and ask for help.
That's great. Natasha, final words.
I just want to sort of say, you know, if you're someone out there that doesn't feel you fit in, that you feel sometimes isolated, you potentially feel lonely, you feel that obstacle after obstacle, that is completely normal. I mean, genuinely, absolutely normal. And my advice would be, keep pushing. I think every single woman who is in a leadership position, if we look at sort of the ladies in the senior executive positions for some of the biggest companies, they haven't got there by being a sheep in, you know, the flock, right? Mm. You have to stand out. You have to take risks. You have to be individualistic. It's not easy, but it's not going to be. So as women, we need to work twice as hard to achieve half as much at the moment. But my message would be, keep believing in yourself. Keep doing you. And, you know, keep believing and just push. You know, we have one shot at this. It's incredible.
Wow, just push. Well, that was Natasha Lakhani, Savi Ahmadi, Linda Liu. Thank you so much for being wonderful guests on the Business Podcast. I think there's so many interesting quotes that we can pull out of today's discussion. Really interesting. I hope this would have shed some light on the topic, on the issue. I hope this was some kind of inspiration. And it's very nice of you to be sharing your experiences. And I actually want to encourage listeners and viewers, women or men, just to essentially do what Natasha, Savi and Linda are doing. They're sharing their direct experiences. They're telling you what they're going through. And we need to be having these conversations out there. We need to discuss this openly. And luckily, we are at an institution that's celebrating this and championing it with Women at Imperial and many more. Once again, thanks, listeners. Thanks, viewers. And make sure you subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. It's just the Business Podcast at Imperial. The main website is businesspodcast.co. It's also on YouTube. Do stay in touch. Do keep tuning in for many more episodes. Thanks a lot. Take care. Bye-bye.